Dear family, this is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And then the righteous will answer Jesus, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, gave you food, or thirsty, and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." And then he will say to those at his left hand, "Are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." And then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And we'll hear from first Irene Gable of St. Matthew's in Spruce Grove, reflecting on her participation in the Welcoming the Stranger group. And then we'll hear from Laura Haugen and from Helen Sium, in that order.
Good morning. My name is Irene Gable, and I'm representing St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Spruce Grove. God said that if you do what you do to help the least of these, because they are my family, you do unto me. When the five churches met, for the first time, we decided that because of all the goodness and mercies and blessings that God had given us, we need to sponsor someone that needed our help, a refugee. We started out by meeting some refugees from countries that were in turmoil, and the stories that they told us were hard to believe. They were just brought tears to your eyes, the way these refugees had suffered. With the help of Gordon Griever and Pastor Penrod, we decided to go through Canadian Lutheran World Relief to pick out a refugee that we could sponsor. Then we prayed and waited and prayed some more. Finally, they gave us a name of a young woman and her Helen and her son Elkanah from Eritrea. She was in a refugee camp for a period of time. It took several years, or 3 years, before we seemed like nothing was happening. And so we prayed for Helen and Elkanah. And all of a sudden, we were told that she would be in Canada on a certain day. We were very excited when Helen arrived, but she arrived without her son, Elkanah. It was exciting, but very heart-wrenching when we realized that she had to leave her son behind.
So why is it important to you to be on the committee? Like, where do you see God at work in the committee?
When Marilyn and I heard about the committee, we thought about how good God had been to us. Even in our time of trials, he was there and we felt him. And with all that we have and all our blessings and mercies that God has shown us, we thought about what God said about your neighbor and where it doesn't matter where they live, but rather are they in need of help. So we just thought that we had to do this, and we know that it was the right answer and that God was leading us in that direction. The reason I'm telling you this story now is because we need funds to bring Helen's son, Elkanah, to Canada. The paperwork is all done, and we need, between the five churches, we need to raise about $20,000 so that Helen can be reunited with her son, Elkanah. We pray that God will move you to help us out with this. But the only way that we can make this happen is if we raise the money to bring him here. Thank you.
I'll call on Laura and Helen. And once you're in place, Laura, you can feel free to take your mask off.
My name is Laura Haugen, and I've been was somewhat involved in the committee at first, but became more involved when Helen arrived and the timing came. Just happened that Helen ended up coming to our house. Wasn't the original plan, but that's what happened. Where I see God at work in the committee is the partnership that was formed between the five churches to support bringing a refugee to Canada. No one church could do it on their own, and so we came together as a group in order to do that. And with that came the opportunity to get to know other people from other churches in our area. The committee was called Welcoming the Stranger, and it's been a blessing to see how quickly a stranger can become a friend and also part of the family. You learn about the incredible hope that a stranger brings to restarting life here in Canada, and also just how hard it is for newcomers to restart that life in Canada, especially if they do not speak fluent English and have limited skills. So we've welcomed Helen and continue to walk alongside her as we wait to next welcome Elkanah.
Hello everybody. June 17, 2021, we will be exactly 2 years seniors. I came to Canada and it was wonderful. It be refugee, it's the worst experience, but God is great. He gave me you, his people, to save me. My first 2 years in Canada was challenging, thinking about my son, Elkanah, about my father, the culture and the language, but at the same time, with your help, it was home to me. I am so thankful for everything you do for me, and I hope I can do it others. May the Lord bless each and everyone for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. On June 17th, 2019, I count myself lucky to have been part of the party that welcomed Helen at the Edmonton International Airport. If you remember, those 2 years ago, we had just celebrated Pentecost Sunday, and we all signed a banner that said welcome in many different languages, including Tigrinya. We knew that Helen would not arrive with much English, but we didn't know that Helen would arrive with almost no English. There was a lot of gesturing and a lot of using translation apps on our iPhones. If I'm honest and confessing, a lot of fear on my part. What did we get ourselves into? How are we going to manage this? But even more than all of that, a lot of smiles, a lot of laughter, a lot of partnership and community, all signs of the Holy Spirit, all that gave me hope that this is exactly what we have been called to do. And friends, God never calls us without giving us exactly what we need. We wish it was what we wanted, but without giving us exactly what we need to answer that call and follow the call. On the face of it, our gospel for today, which by the way is chosen for today's marking of the International Day of the Refugee, and so of our work with Helen and Elkanah. Maybe just before I forget about it, Jason, there's an image that follows here. I just want to show you this picture of Elkanah. This is his most recent school photo, I believe, right? Elkanah lives currently with his maternal grandparents near Asmara, Eritrea, in Hash Adi, Eritrea. So he is safe now, but so far from his mom. We have learned so much about the situation in Eritrea during these now 5 and 6 years. And one thing that we have learned and had to struggle with and come to grips with is that because of the way the government in Eritrea works, or rather doesn't work, for its people, essentially, once we have Elkanah's paperwork in order to come, we are going to have to pay someone to smuggle him out of Eritrea. The government will not issue any kind of visa. The borders are patrolled by military, sometimes corrupt. It's hard to fathom from our perspective and experience here. What is not hard to fathom is what it must feel like for a mother and a son to be separated by thousands of miles, even knowing that they can talk on the phone or by a WhatsApp video sometimes, even knowing each the other is safe for now, still they're not together. This gospel today is chosen because it's actually the theme verse. It's why our committee chose the name Welcoming the Stranger. It's not the most feel-good text. It can be a little scary, especially when we start hearing language about eternal fire, the devil and his angels. That makes me feel a little anxious thinking about being eternally separated. And so we partnered this gospel today with 1 John's teaching about God's true nature. 1 John 4 12 and 13 say, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us. God's love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit." Abide, remain with, to stay with, to be in union with. Abide is the opposite of being separated. Remember when I was saying that I was a little fearful? What did we get ourselves into? How are we going to make this work? But then I started seeing smiles and laughter and community and cooperation. I started to experience and feel love. All signs of the Holy Spirit. All signs of God's abiding with us. This is the truth of the gospel, family. God doesn't just abide with us when we're doing it right. The story of Jesus' incarnation, of Jesus' teaching and ministry, of Jesus' death, of Jesus' resurrection, of Jesus' ascension and reunion with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, the truth of this is that precisely when the world is least following God's will and desire, that's when God gets to work and pours out the most love, the most service, the most saving. And so it's true, this will come off as harsh. I think we would do well to hear the harsh part as an EMT standing on the scene of an accident where people are gravely injured and saying, "Stand back! Don't come near." You might think, "Well, I only want to help. I only want to see what's going on. Why are you speaking so harshly to me?" And the reason is the stakes are so high in that moment. A life or life in the balance. And it's vital that we don't, through our actions or inactions, make things worse. Jesus' teaching here is saying to well-meaning but maybe misinformed or naive people who say, "Well, Jesus, of course we would serve you. Of course we would feed you. Of course we would visit you. Of course we would clean up for you. We just haven't seen you. We've seen all these other miserable, injured, orphaned, refugeed people. We just haven't seen you." And Jesus says, when you see the injured, the orphaned, the sick, the hurting, the lamenting, then you see me. You see what Jesus is doing here? Jesus is expressing God's union with the parts of the world that are miserable, hurting, broken. The resolve for God to stand in union with the world, even the world at enmity with God, is absolute. And so we hear those words of "stand back," and they put us on attention. They make us realize the gravity of the situation. And they are supposed to be not a threat, but a call to action. Not condemnation, but a strong invitation to join in the work of God, of being in solidarity with the world. And the reality of it is that if we fail to take up that call to action, real people, real children of God, sons and daughters will die, will languish, will continue to hurt when they need not. So we might hear that language first. "Truly I tell you," just as you did it to one of these least, When we hear that language, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, we might think to ourselves, rightly, how could God be so cruel, so heartless? The reply of the Spirit to us might be, yeah, right? How could anyone be so cruel, so heartless, to see someone in misery and to walk away, to know I could help, but to choose not to? Here's the thing. Perhaps it's not so much that God threatens you or I or us together with eternal condemnation or punishment. Maybe Jesus is simply pointing out to us the natural consequences of our actions and inactions. We have before us a mother and a son that are separated. We have power to unite them. We can choose to do that or not. And by the way, this is just one example of the many opportunities we have in our daily lives when we see someone who's hurting, when we see injustice being done, to intervene. If we fail to intervene by taking action or by looking carefully at our actions that cause injustice and trying to remediate those, change those, if we fail to take action to change the situation, to help the person or people in distress, and when we fail to offer such care, the help that we have to give, when we fail to offer it, we perpetuate and grow inhumane systems that threaten to eventually overtake us all. Canadian Lutheran World Relief was formed in the wake of the Second World War, when there was a massive refugee crisis in Western Europe. CLWR developed a specialization in resettling people from Eastern Europe here in Canada. And that work, that experience, has led to a continuation of that ministry over many years now, coming on 100, 75, 80. This is why we reached out to CLWR to glean from their knowledge and expertise in helping to settle Helen. This is why we continue to work with CLWR to get Elkanah reunited with his mom. Friends, as my time at Our Savior with you comes to a close, I just have to say that in 10 years, this is one of the highlights of our ministry together for me. You just can't get more tangible with respect to the impact that you all have made through your prayers, your time, your generosity of spirit and of material resources. You've literally changed a life too. And as they put down roots here in Canada and move forward, those two lives will become many lives. Remember, the whole family of God started with Abram and Sarah, two people, two lives changed by God's promise, by God intervening and setting their life in a new direction. Generations from now, what will that line of Elkanah and Helen look like? I can't wait to see and celebrate it, because the reality is we're going to get to someday. Because finally, God's word for you, whether you work with welcoming the stranger or not, you succeed or fail in taking up the call that God puts in front of you on a daily basis. God's word for you, God's will to stand in solidarity with you, alongside you, over you, with you, even within you through the power of the Spirit, is an absolute and undeniable yes. God is for you. One of the ironies of the gospel is that the very moment that we are most condemned by the law of it, which is to say, in this case, when we realize that we've failed to visit the sick, we've failed to intervene for a refugee, we've failed to visit the prisoner, we become ourselves miserable. We become ourselves condemned. We become ourselves helpless. And at that moment, not when we earn it or do good, but at that moment when we realize how far we've fallen and how much we've failed, that's when Jesus says, yes, that's the one I'm with, you. And for this good news that changes lives and turns the world right side up, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.